So Graham's going to speak for us on Psalm 71 this morning, and we'll just pray for you, Graham. Lord, we thank you that you've given Graham this word over many years, and we just praise you, Lord, that today is the day, Lord, when he will deliver what you have given him to say. So we thank you, Lord, we ask for your anointing, we pray, Lord, for clarity, and we pray, Lord, that we will receive, Lord, all that you have to say to us today. And we bless you, Lord, for the word. Amen.
So, we're going to look at Psalm 71 today, continuing our season of Psalms for summer. This is a psalm, well, back in COVID when I was, which seems a lifetime ago now, doesn't it? But during when we had COVID, I was just talking to God and saying, I'm coming up to retirement and what have you got for us? And is there anything you want to say? Because COVID is going to change the world. It's going to change this country. It's going to change the way we view things. We look at things. And that was just what I was talking to God about. And then, not part of daily reading or anything. At that time, I was just reading the Bible as a book, which I've talked about previously. And I'd come to Psalm 71. And it was like, it's one of those moments, I don't know whether you've experienced it, where you've talked to God about something and just asked him a few questions, and then you get an answer, which is just perfect. It just hits all the points you've talked to God about, it just hits them. And that's what happened with Psalm 71 for me. So, I have a confession to make that as I was preparing, I was talking to God as I do, and we used to have a laptop that's just old and decrepit, so our daughter gave us a Chromebook, and I hate it because I've used a laptop and Word for forever and I hate it, but I managed to send the slides second time round, and I thought, well, I'll bring it with me so I can use it as an aid memoir for me to see where things are coming up. So I got it out just during worship and I wiped it all off. So it's I'd say it was a man thing, but the reality is it's more a Graham thing. So me and Debs are working as a team here, and we'll see how it goes. So, Psalm 71. In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be my strong refuge, to which I may resort continually. You have given the commandment to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust from my youth. By you I have been upheld from birth. You are he who took me out of my mother's womb. My praise shall be continually of you. I have become as a wonder to many, but you are my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails. For my enemies speak against me, and those who lie in wait for my life take counsel together, saying, God has forsaken him. Pursue and take him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, do not be far from me. O my God, make haste to help me. Let them be confounded and consumed, who are adversaries of my life. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor, who seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and your salvation all the day, for I do not know their limits. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of your righteousness, of yours only. O God, you have taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare your wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and grey-headed, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. Also your righteousness, O God, is very high. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you? You have shown me great and severe troubles. You who have shown me great and severe troubles shall revive me again and bring me up again from the depths of the earth. You shall increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. Also with the lute I will praise you and your faithfulness, O my God. To you I will sing with the harp, O Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing to you, and my soul which you have redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of your righteousness all the day long. For they are confounded, for they are brought to shame who seek my hurt. So that ticked all the boxes and all the answers to what I'd asked God about. And we live in a world since, I think COVID made it worse and exacerbated the issue of living in the world. Living, and not just for the older generation, but the younger generation as well. And verse 9 says, "Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails." In verse 17, "O God, you have taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare your wondrous works. Now also when I am old and grey-headed, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come." When I first read this, I had a little chuckle to myself at God's sense of humour, because I thought these were always antique blonde highlights. And I read the New King James Version, and the word grey-headed only appears in that one. And it just made me giggle at God speaking directly to me and answering my question directly with the phrase, "Now when I am old and grey-headed." Or, "Do not forsake me until I declare your strength to the following generation." And this morning, it's partly testimony, because God has been percolating this in me since COVID. So it's partly testimony, it's also partly a challenge, and it's also an encouragement. Now, the world we live in is, I feel, very similar to the time of the world after Joshua. So Joshua verses 7 and 10 say, "The people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord which he had done for Israel." And then this is the key one. "When all that generation had been gathered to their fathers and another generation arose after them, who did not know the Lord nor the work which he had done for Israel." Judges 17 verse 6 and 21 verse 25, "In those days there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in his or in their own eyes." That is almost, when I look at the world today, that is almost a direct, you could take that as a direct quote and plant it in today's society, and it would be exactly the same truth. That the number of people who have, you talk to people, and you hear about the far right, and, we are a Christian nation, we need to get back to our Christian ideals. But they're not, in my view anyway, they're not the same ideals that I read about in the Bible. And but there's a generation growing up who are not aware of the great and amazing things that God has done. There's a generation coming through, and maybe it's not just this next generation, but the generation prior to it, that have grown up not knowing the great things of God because nobody has told them. Nobody has told them. I was sharing with somebody a while ago about, since COVID, I have spoken to more non-Christians than I have, apart from when I was in the RAF, between 1975 and 1986. So between 1986 and COVID, I spoke predominantly to Christians. I had workmates who weren't Christians, but I didn't have many non-Christian friends. But since COVID, when we started talking to and discovered our neighbours and doing things other than church, I speak to so many more non-Christians now. In fact, I would think they're in the majority and speaking to Christians is in the minority, which to me fulfills part of what I felt God spoke to me about. So that's the bad news, in the sense of that's where we're at now. So Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4, "For though you might have 10,000 instructors or teachers in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers or parents or grandparents," in a spiritual sense. And I sense this is what God is saying to us, to my generation, our generation, that we are the ones who have a story to tell to the younger generation of God's faithfulness, of God's continuing faithfulness, of the amazing things that God has done, not in our lives, but in lives of other people. Now, there's a positive side to this, but there's also, we can, I guess, maybe not with, I want to say right intentions, but when I first became a Christian, I had a couple of responses, because there was a group of us and we're all filled with the Holy Spirit at the same time, and we were all, "Oh, this is amazing," and our youth meetings would go on for 3 hours, and the main thing we wanted, if anybody, the prize that we could get was a Thompson Chain reference Bible. That's what we wanted, because we couldn't get enough of God. So I had, I'm saying he was an old man, but he was probably younger than me. And he said, "Oh, Graham, I were like you when I got saved, but it wears off." And then another person, we were having an amazing time, praising God in tongues, and this person said, "This is not of God." And you think, I was only 13, 14, 15, and that can have an effect. But then I had other people who said, "Graham, go for it. Go for it." And it wasn't just saying Graham, it was to the group of us, "Go for it. God is with you. God is amazing. God will sustain you. God will look after you. Trust in God." Thankfully, I took their advice, not the other. And that's the role I sense God is calling some of us to, is the idea of being spiritual grandparents and spiritual parents, not to just spurt out our latest theology, not to spurt out necessarily or say, "Oh, I've seen this on this and I've seen this on that." And it's about drawing alongside to encourage, to share, to demonstrate God's faithfulness. It's not about controlling them. Some of you who've been Christians for a long time may remember in the 70s and 80s, in particular, that phrase that came up about heavy shepherding, where some people in the under the guise of discipleship or encouraging people would come to them and say, "Oh, what about this job? No, you can't. Don't do the job. No, God's telling you to move. You've got to move to help plant this church. You've got to take this job. Don't take that job." That almost the idea of controlling what they were doing, and it was, I don't want to say it was rife, but there was quite a lot of it, and people looking back now recognize it as spiritual abuse, that it took away, because ultimately God has given us free will. It is our decision. Now we may take advice, we may not take advice, because God has given us free will. But as spiritual parents and grandparents, it is not our responsibility to make somebody do something. Because that then becomes control, and very easily leads into manipulation, and it can, if it gets that bad, be spiritual abuse. So God's not calling us to that, but he is calling us to draw alongside. Now, over these 4 or 5 years, I have had several people come to me and say, "Can we come and talk to you about this? Or can we come and talk to you about that?" Because for some reason they think I'm wise. And for a long time, me and wisdom in the same sentence didn't exist. It was the, in fact, when I was at school, I was told, "Golding, you will make nothing of yourself in this life." I'm still here. But that's the negativity that the world brings. And you can say, well, when in the 70s, when I was a teenager, we didn't have social media. I was talking to a couple of the youth who'd been to New Day and saying that that we didn't have the same pressures that they had, because there was no social media. We had 3 TV channels. Children's TV lasted from 5 till 5:45 and finished with the magic roundabout. That was the reality, and we played out. There was a group of us on the back street, and we used to go out after breakfast, come back for lunch, go out after dinner, come back for tea, and then the rule was we could play out till the street lights came on. And in the summer holidays, that's what we did. And well, any holidays, that's what we did. So it's a different, there's different pressures. But those people who were saying to me, "Go on, Graham, go for it. God's with you. Trust God." They were from a different generation. Ours was a different. They didn't have TV. They had radio. They played out in the bomb damage. I don't go as far back as rationing, but I know there's people here who do. But I remember winter of discontent, rubbish piled on the street corners, power cuts. You only had power during certain hours of the day. You think the drought's bad now. In the summer of 76, the Minister for Water was encouraging people to do what him and his wife did and share a bath in 2 inches of water. So we remember those things. We had high interest rates. I've talked to people and said, I bought my first house and it cost £5,000. "Oh, Graham, you're so lucky. I wish we could do that." I said, "Yeah, but the interest rate was 15.5% and I got paid less than £100 a month." So my mortgage at £66.66 was nearly 3/4 of my salary. So there was, our life experience allows us to bring some wisdom and some encouragement of God is faithful. But it comes from the Word. It comes from our experience of the world. So being spiritual parents and grandparents is not just the wisdom of life, of our life experiences, of me coming out of the RAF and having 7 jobs in 7 years. It's not that brings some wisdom of you'll get through this. Just man up. Put your big boy pants on. You'll be fine. There's some of that because we've lived, and some of you have lived through far more than I have. But there's also the spiritual aspect. And those people who, when I was a teenager and a young, in my 20s, who drew alongside me and put their arm around me and said, look, this is what the Bible says. God is faithful. God promises that he will be faithful in every circumstance. It doesn't necessarily take us out of the circumstance, but God is faithful through it. And then what happens is, as you come through it and look back and say, God, yes, you were with me, we have a testimony. We have a testimony of God's faithfulness. And I guess as, I don't say mature Christians, but as older people who've lived through a lot of life, we have that wisdom backed up, or we have the Bible, what the Bible says, backed up by our life experience. Now, this is very important. We are not expected to get down there with them. If somebody from the young people was to come to us like we did, we're not expected to go, yeah, bro, and all of that malarkey. It's a different language. Even from those who are in their 20s and 30s, it's a different language. So we've learnt so much from our grandchildren. We were in the car the other week, and for some reason people think I'm good at dad jokes. can't understand why. But we were driving in the car, and one of our granddaughters said, oh, I was cooking yesterday. So Cheryl, in her naivety, said, oh, what did you make? To which our granddaughter replied, oh, Grandma, you are so 1960s. What do you mean? Cooking means I was doing something well. But then I just mentioned something that provoked a little titter. And the same granddaughter says, Grandad, you're nerving me. Nerving you? Stressing me out. So nerving. And then there's another one. 6'7". 6'7". And because I'm 67, I get the, Grandad, you're 6'7". What does it mean? So Googled it. Does it mean anything? It means absolutely nothing at all. Just 6'7". We are not expected to speak their language. But what we are expected to do is draw alongside. Now, not last Sunday, the Sunday before, when they'd come back from New Day, I was just at the end, I was speaking to Jude and Naomi, and just saying, because they'd come up and said how the worship was brilliant and the drill, and I said to them, so what else did you enjoy? And they said, oh, the Word was amazing. You know, we had some really good teaching. I said, oh, what on? Jude said, yeah, it was really good teaching about being a man, how to be a man. And Naomi said, yeah, and there was teaching on how to be a woman in the society that we live in, a Christian man, Christian woman. So it was really good. And we were just talking away, and I said, yeah, when I was your age, we got some really good teaching about stuff that was important to us and relevant to us in the 70s. And they said, and we were just talking. I said, yeah. And it came about that I've been a Christian for 54 years. No. Yeah. How old are you? So I'm 67. No. I said, well, how old did you think I was? And Jude says, 50 to mid-50s at the worst. I said, thank you very much. I will take that. Thank you very much, young sir. Come again. But it was just a conversation. Yeah. It was, what else did you find? What else did you enjoy? Because I can remember going to youth camps and it being amazing afterwards for a few months. And then life pops back in and exams and, you know, family and that joy and that, God, you're amazing, just can dim a little bit. Don't lose your faith, but it dims, that joy, that excitement of, God, you can do anything. And that's where spiritual parents, spiritual grandparents, it's all right. You know, God's still the same, yesterday, today and forever. There are times where it's, whoa, but there are times where life is just life. In our Connect group, we were looking at some spiritual practices. And one of the ones we looked at was solitude. And just talked and shared about our views on solitude. And a few days later, I went for a walk and was sat above Viv and Naomi's house in the wood. There's a seat that overlooks all that part of the valley. I just talked to God. I think most of you know, I just talked to God about stuff. And I'm sat there and just saying, God, it was a lovely day. God, this is amazing. Your creation is amazing. You're just amazing, God. Is there anything you want to say to me? And I just felt in my spirit, God say, how many modes of transport are there? Different modes of transport are there down the valley? So I looked and I thought, there's the river. There's the railway. Well, there's the river, the railway, the dual carriageway bypass and the canal. He said, well, that's like the Christian life. I said, what do you mean? And I just felt God say, most of Christian life, or a lot of Christian life, is like you're walking down the side of the river. It's meandering, sometimes it goes slow, sometimes it goes fast, but it meanders. A river takes the easiest course and it meanders. And I felt God say, that's what a lot of the Christian life is like. You're just walking with me and we're having a great time, and you might bump into people on the way along the path, and it's just nice, it's good. Then there's the railway, which in theory is the fastest, because part of this is God, our Christian life is a walk, is a journey, and we're going from where we started to the end when we meet Jesus face to face. And in theory, the railway is the quickest. It's relatively straight, 70 mile an hour down at the Air Valley, 80 mile an hour most of the way, except it stops at stations. And I felt God say, this, sometimes you're on the train and you'll come to a station and I'll ask you to get off because I want you to do something, or I want you to meet somebody, and you'll be there for a period of time, then you'll get back on the train and continue the journey. Then there was the canal, which again is generally straight, not much uphill, but it's not flowing, it's a means of getting from A to B. And I felt God say, this is where we're talking. Me and you, as in me and God, are talking, and I'm talking you about stuff. There's no rush, but we're walking, we're still heading towards the goal, but there's no rush. I'm talking to you about stuff. I maybe want to teach you something. I maybe want to reveal something to you, but I'm talking to you. And thinking, oh, that's good, God. And my spirit's getting a bit excited. Is it just me that happens to? And then there's a dual carriageway. And that's, in our world today, that's the fastest to get us from A to B. I felt God say to me, that's the fastest, but it's the one I use the least. And I thought, God, that's amazing. That is amazing. Sometimes God says to us, I want you to do it now. I want you to go now. But in my experience of 50 odd years of being a Christian, that hasn't happened very often. I've had the canal experience with God speaking to me and apprehending me. I've had the railway experience where God has said, I want you to get off, I want you to do this, I want you to do that, I want you to do the other. And a big chunk of my Christian life has just been walking with God, being faithful in the Christian walk that God has called me to. And that came as a revelation to me, because I'd never viewed it in that way. I thought it was all just a continuous walk and things happened. But what I felt was really significant for me was the idea that the fastest way, do it now, is the one that God uses least. And I thought, God, that's amazing. So when we're talking about spiritual parenting, spiritual grandparenting, when we're drawing alongside, we're not trying to force somebody onto a different path. We're encouraging them on the path they're on now. Now, it may be something we say encourages them, or they move onto a different track, but that's not our job to make them do it. It's our job to draw alongside and say, God is faithful. And I don't want this just to be about us, because the encouragement is God is faithful. God does challenge us. As a young person, God was challenging me. Even though as a teenager, God was challenging me. In my 20s, God was challenging me. I think I've shared before that when I came out of the RAF, when I was in the RAF, I had one foot in one camp, one foot in the other. That when I was in the RAF, I was in the RAF and treated it like I was in the RAF. And my lifestyle reflected I was in the RAF. When I came home, I started going to church again, and my life reflected being a Christian and doing Christian stuff, but they didn't cross over. And God challenged me when I came out of, Graham, it's all or nothing, which is that's a big challenge. For me, that was a huge challenge, because then I had to make a decision. And for those younger people, those who've maybe not been Christians a long time, God challenges us. That's part of being a Christian and trusting in God. God challenges us. God will put his arm around us. God will encourage us, like he did with me when I said, what have you got planned for me now? I'm coming up to retirement. And he just, Psalm 71 came out of the blue. Probably read it, if not hundreds of times, tens of times, and never seen it in the way I saw it when I'd asked God the question. So God is faithful to those younger. It sounds so trite and so patronizing, but when I say the younger generation, I'm not being patronizing. But what I can say, and many of us here can say, is God is faithful. That is God's promise to us as Christians, that I am faithful. And whatever you're going through, God is faithful. that it's not about God, you've let me down. God, you've left me. God never leaves us. God never forsakes us. We might not see it at the time, but God is faithful. God loves you. Whether it's exams, whether it's work, whatever it is, whether it's relationships, God is faithful. And for those who maybe God's asking us to be spiritual parents, spiritual grandparents, it's not about our agenda. It's not about control. It's not about saying how brilliant we are. It's about putting our arm, drawing alongside, maybe putting an arm round, maybe not, maybe just listening, not to give an answer, but just to listen to what they're saying. It might be to pray. It might be to uphold somebody in prayer. But it's not about, and some of us here have experienced the thou shalt not type of encouragement. We've had that. We've had the good encouragement, the one that encourages to press on, to pursue God, to hang on to God's coattails, wherever he may take us. But others of us have had that, you can't do that, thou shalt not. Thou shalt not definitely do that. Whereas what might be needed, and what maybe was needed, was just a listening ear. And a lot of this happens out of sight. It's not stood at the front of the church. It's not stood over in the prayer corner. Or a lot of this happens outside Sundays. And it's about, Paul said to Timothy, imitate me. Imitate my way of life. Now, we are not Paul. but one of the key things about being a spiritual parent and a spiritual grandparent is modelling the Christian life. That people see our example. They see how we deal with issues. They see how we deal with the good and the bad and the indifferent. And that's why they may come and talk to you. That's why they might say to you, can I come and talk to you about something? Can I... will you pray for me about this or that? So that's me done. Lord Jesus, just pray that, Lord, the words that I've spoken hopefully haven't been waffly, hopefully have brought understanding and encouragement. But Lord, most of all, I want you to have been glorified. I want you to have been exalted. That, Lord, I pray a lot, Jesus, it's all about you. So, Lord, let this morning have been all about you, I pray. Amen.